Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Broadcasting live from the Hyundai Studios, presented to you by your local Hyundai dealers. This is where Chicago goes to talk Bears. Sport Radio 670 The Score, Chicago's home for Bears fans. WSCR and HD Chicago, WBMX HD2 Chicago, and Odyssey Station. The Score!
This hour is brought to you by Team Hochberg. Visit their website, 56david.com. That's 56david.com.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I have your attention?
Sage Rosenfels, the official Tuesday morning quarterback with Dan Bernstein and Leila Rahimi, longtime football observer.
I grew up with a little 19-inch black and white. I don't even know if it was 19 inches, it might have been 12 inches or something. Black and white TV that had four channels. We basically watched the black and blue division. My dad's from Chicago. All we basically watched were Vikings, Packers, Bears, Packers.
12 years of NFL experience.
Rosenfels with the ball, the bootleg, fake the pass, dives for the end zone, and in for the touchdown. Sage Rosenfels, brilliant on that first drive.
Goat of the preseason.
It's a specialty.
Sage Rosenfels with Dan Bernstein and Leila Rahimi on 670 The Score.
If Andy's healthy, is he your starter?
If Andy is healthy, is he your starter? That's something that I'm not going to get into with scheme.
That's not scheme.
Of course it is. That's 100% scheme, Brad. That's 100% scheme.
Personnel, maybe, then that's scheme.
I'm with Brad. I don't get it. I don't get out of that scheme unless he's letting us know just the window into his football world. Brad Biggs and Matt Nagy sparring a little bit good-naturedly at that press conference yesterday. And here to talk about scheme and personnel is Sage Rosenfels, the former NFLer who is on Twitter at SageRosenfels18. And on the Score hotline brought to you by Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas, home of the world's largest sports book. He is also on Twitch from his palatial estate in Omaha, Nebraska, at twitch.tv/Chicago670. The Score. Hello, Sage.
Good morning. Good morning. What'd you call it? An estate that I have here.
Your compound, your palatial estate with the moat.
Yes, my 0.33 acres in the suburbs estate in the suburbs of Omaha. Welcome. I'm looking forward to the show. Interesting week, of course, lots to talk about. And, of course, with the two quarterbacks with the win, it's always nice to have a little bit of a quarterback controversy after a win. Usually those happen after some sort of loss. And the question is, do you play the young guy or not? This is obviously after a win. That's much better on a Tuesday.
So what were your takeaways before we get into what we just heard from Matt Nagy, which I definitely want to hear your opinion on, too? Just what you saw on Sunday out of Justin Fields having to take over. He was indeed one play away, as we saw, and how things looked, especially given that offense.
Well, most importantly, Bears got a win. I'm not sure how much the offense can say that they went out and really won this game. They did what they had to do. The defense, obviously, with the turnovers in the second half, that was the story of this football game. Andy Dalton played well, didn't do anything spectacular, but did what you'd sort of hoped that he would do, execute, get completions, protect the football. And then, of course, he gets hurt and Fields comes in. And I thought Justin did a lot of good things. He had a couple of really good throws on some deep crossing routes. He checked the ball down a few times when he needed to, when there was nothing down the field. Of course, he used his legs big time on that run at the end to sort of secure the game. But then, of course, he made his mistakes. A couple of false start penalties, which that is, you know, classic, like, young quarterback, a lot going on in your mind, a lot going on defensively, the situation. You decide to go on a different count. You shake a little bit because you almost forget the count because there's so many things going on in your mind. That does happen to young guys sometimes. Obviously, it's happened to him a few times so far in his young career. And then, of course, the interception. That's the one thing you obviously cannot do in that situation. You'd rather take a sack, hang on to the football, punt, make the Bears earn it from, or make the opposing team, the Bengals, earn it from a longer ways away. And, of course, the interception. We can go into that play if you'd like to in more detail. Mm-hmm. But some up and down from Justin Fields. But you do see the arm talent. You do see the pocket movement. You see the scramble. And agreeing with Matt Nagy, you do see the designed runs of the quarterback that are much more effective and much more relevant when Justin Fields is in the game and Andy Dalton's on the bench.
What does Fields have to learn from that interception about how not to let a linebacker get invisible like that?
Yeah, so to go into more detail on that, you know, that was when you're a defense and you need to get the ball back, and of course you have a young quarterback like that, you're going to heat him up on third down, right? We're sort of in desperation mode. So the Bengals go complete cover zero defense, and Justin's been around even in college football. He was coached well enough college football. You see that cover zero. You see no free safety in the middle. Everyone's walked down. Usually they're inside technique because you have no inside safety help, and so you're sort of inside technique. And your only really help is the boundary, right? So what happens there is you can either try to throw some sort of out route, get the ball quick. Also, the defenders are sitting on everything, right? So the shallow routes, of course, make sense. If we can get hit a guy in a shallow route, there's nobody that's going to be there. If he catches it and makes his guy miss, he's off to the races. There's no, you know, safety help, you know, on that sort of man-to-man type coverage. But what happened on that play, to me, is a sort of a microcosm of the small but big differences between pro football and college football. In college football, you get an all-out blitz. All those guys who are blitzing, they're going to keep rushing. In pro football, the defenders are smart enough to realize if I'm blitzing, in this situation, the linebacker was blitzing, and the offensive lineman blocks me, right? The defense knows we have one more guy coming at the quarterback than they have blocking. So we know the quarterback has to get the ball out fairly quickly, right? Mm-hmm. Either throwing off his back foot on a corner route, or he's got to get it out quickly, right? If you're a linebacker who blitzes and you are being blocked by one of the offensive linemen, you know that if you just drop back out in coverage, my guy, the unblocked guy, is going to get there, and maybe I can be help on some sort of short throw, on some sort of shallow crossing throw. And that's exactly what happened in that football game. The linebacker blitzes. He's blocked. I'm not going to continue to rush. I'm going to back out and fall into maybe some sort of slant or shallow crossing route, and that's exactly what happened. And that is a huge learning moment for Justin Fields is, when you're in that situation, you can't just assume, okay, cover zero, there's no one that's going to be dropping out, or cover zero, I'm going to have this guy because it's man-to-man. There's always something there. Ahead of your receiver, and you have to be absolutely sure when that ball leaves your hand.
Two games in, we've talked so much about Matt Nagy's scheme. He brings it up himself. As you heard yesterday, the exchange with Brad Biggs talking about whether or not if Andy Dalton's healthy, is he going to be the guy? We find out later, yes. But the scheme was what it was on the field the last two games. You were one of the best evaluators of it. What has it been your impression just two games in?
My impression of the scheme so far, or?
Yes, and maybe also those who are running it. Just your takeaways when it comes to this stuff, because you evaluate it, you know, on a much different level.
Yeah, I do feel like the scheme over the last few years with Trubisky, the scheme has advanced. I like the fact that they do more play action. I think Andy Dalton likes it. I think Fields likes it. Generally, they get a pretty good shot going down the field, again, on some sort of deep crossing route. If the quarterback doesn't like it, they're checking the ball down and getting good runs out of the backfield. I mean, you saw the check down to David Montgomery and then being called back, but I think went for 40 yards. You know, they're doing a lot of, I think, good things to make it harder on a defense than they did in the past. I think they're more consistent offense. They're putting their offensive line in, better situations they did in the past with you know, this year compared to the last couple of years that I've watched this team change and evolve. And of course, when Fields is on the field, it's pretty obvious they have packages for him that they don't have for Andy. More of that zone read type of stuff, more opportunities for him to run the football, designed runs, not just scramble runs, more designed runs. And you saw it in the game. I mean, he probably scores on the run. I believe it was early in the fourth quarter. Jimmy Graham missed a block. You saw that inside the in the red zone, maybe about the 10-yard line. He probably scores on that. And, of course, they're probably not calling out Andy Dalton in the game, whether he's healthy or not. So I think their scheme is better and more consistent this year than in the past. I think they have a better idea of what they want to do, who they are, what they're trying to get done. And I think they're definitely a more consistent quarterback play than in the past.
I just don't like the fact they're asking Jimmy Graham to block instead of run into the end zone and stand there and be tall, because he's certainly
well,
much
he's
better.
Well, he's a tight end.
But he doesn't block. He's never blocked.
They're not asking. He's a tight end, and they're not asking him to block an all-pro defensive end by himself in pass protection. It was a play where he actually releases to go block either a corner or a safety. And you got to think he can make that block. He's, of course, not as quick as a corner, and the corner made a really nice play. But if he does make that block, it is a touchdown for Justin Fields.
Over time, with breaking down the Bears' offense, certainly last year, right in the middle of watching the transfer away from Nick Foles and back to Mitchell Trubisky, the play calling from Matt Nagy to Bill Lazor, and you talked about how they changed their blocking scheme and how they got more half field reads, more boot and waggle action. I was a little dismayed that with the change of Justin Fields, that they didn't revert to some more of that. Some of the, like the Kevin Stefanski kind of stuff that you see, or, you know, some of the Kyle Shanahan stuff, even with the action one way and a flip back the other way. Do you think more of that would benefit Justin Fields?
I'd like to see Justin Fields with a few more bootleg type plays, you know, your classic under center and bootleg type stuff. I think he's very dangerous when he's on the edge. We all know when he has space in front of him, he really is a running back. I mean, that 4.4 is legitimate. We see all these 40 times sometimes, you know, with the combine and pro days. But does he actually run a 4.4 40? Yeah, Justin Fields does. He really does pull away from linebackers. You see that almost wide receiver type speed. And so I would like him less in the pocket and more, again, you know, on the bootleg type stuff, just because, one, it's easier completions for him. It's not as complicated. If a defense blitzes, he doesn't have to deal with all that. The offensive lineman also doesn't have to deal with all that. So as he's learning to be a pocket passer, and I tell you what, when he has time to throw, as we notice, he doesn't miss very often. He's a pretty accurate quarterback, so he's a good thrower. But as a young guy in general, I like having young guys, you know, a half dozen or so plays on the move in that bootleg type, whether it's right or to his left, it doesn't really matter, because I just think it's easier completions for them. And over time, you just don't want to have 20, 25 pocket passing plays during a football game. It's just hard on offensive line, and it's hard for any quarterback, whether the young or the old.
I love seeing him with the zone read, too. I think that is a very happy marriage. So going back to what we heard, the exchange with Brad Biggs, trying to figure out who the quarterback's going to be yesterday, if Andy Dalton's healthy, which, given the news about this injury, we don't necessarily know, but we know it's not as bad. So when you hear that, and you hear Matt Nagy talk about scheme and personnel, being a veteran, knowing what coaches can sometimes say to try to cover up things or just how something might not be what we hear on the surface, what were your takeaways?
I think it's legitimate to say that, you know, for scheme reasons, we're not going to tell the whole world who's going to be the starting quarterback this week. I think it makes complete sense. You do have two different quarterbacks here. And though Andy can scramble a little bit, he's obviously a pocket passer. Though Justin can throw from the pocket, he's obviously a guy that cannot just scramble, but they can have some packages where they run the ball with him. And that's defensively, you only have so much time on the other side of the football. You know, as a defensive coordinator, there's only so many different types of plays you can rep, whether it's walkthrough or practice time or whatever. And if you feel like you know Justin Fields is going to play, you're going to do more of the zone read type. You know, you could have even certain scheme defensively. Should we bring a safety down the box to have that extra guy to account for the quarterback who sort of is the extra runner? Do you do those types of things? If it's straight Andy Dalton, okay, how are we going to protect for the pass more, and we don't have to maybe bring that safety down or do something differently with the defensive lineman to in all the practice plays of, you know, more of a pocket passer. So there is some value to that. That's not blowing smoke up the media, in my opinion. I think there's real value to being able to not let anybody know who's going to be the starting quarterback this week. I would assume even if Andy starts, looks like to me they want Justin to play in every football game, and maybe over time he becomes the guy. But right now this sort of mix worked out pretty well, and I think they want to get Justin in more and more and more. But Andy Dalton is not playing bad football, you know, that's for sure. And I think he's doing some good things. He played pretty well in this ballgame. He's definitely doing his job. So I think there are some scheme issues, though, that there's a reason to keep that tight and close to the belt.
As we let you go, I have a weird question for you, and it's something that I think during games, and then I never voice it on the air. But when I watch David Montgomery, and I watch how impossible he is to get on the ground and how hard he fights, even on a nothing run, turning he has some amazing two-yard runs, or even getting back to the line of scrimmage sometimes. And then I wonder, like, how much wear and tear or injury risk or fumble risk do you have sometimes? I know the glory and the honor of being that guy, but at some point, to extend a career in the best interest of everything, when is it okay to fall down?
Well, is this year three for David? Is that right?
Yeah.
And then he was at Iowa State for 3 or 4 years, so I've been watching him for a long time. This is who he is. Nobody is going to convince David Montgomery to just dive down and not go for that extra yard.
I don't want to, you know what I mean? Like, I know that's just not football, but I still worry about, like, what are you fighting for right now? It's okay.
But this is who he is. This is how he runs. This has always been his strength. So you're asking him to sort of hone back his strength, which is finishing runs for every possible yard. I will say, a lot of running backs, it would shorten their career. And I think that style probably will shorten David's career, whatever that may be. But the way his body is and the way he just sort of is built, I do think he can last in that style much longer than a Alvin Kamara or something like that. He's not going to run that way, right? But David, the way he's built like Mike Tyson, you know, he's just so strong and compact and powerful that he does have the type of body that can do that longer than everybody else. Well, will he play for 14 years? You know, probably not in that style, but I think all Bears fans, of all teams in the NFL, probably Chicago, maybe a Pittsburgh. There's only a couple of cities who really, really appreciate this type of runner and this style of runner. And I do think I'm sure Chicago fans really appreciate the way David Montgomery runs the football. He's not Walter Payton, but there's some things in Payton's game of his refusal sometimes to go down, or that ability to run through people, to finish runs behind your pads and fall forward for that extra yard or two. You saw that with Payton, obviously, a lot, and you definitely see that with David Montgomery. I love watching him run. I love guys who scrap for every yard. It's a game of inches, and he's trying to get every single one of them, and I like it. And I like the fact that he's not looking at his long-term playing career. He's looking to get that yard, and a running back that has that mentality is the running back that I like having on my football team.
Preach.
High praise indeed from Sage Rosenfels. That was really good stuff. We'll talk next week, Sage. Thanks.
All right, guys.
Thanks, Sage.
Sage Rosenfels with his regular Tuesday appearance, and that is always followed by that of Paul Charchian. So, fantasy players, keep it here. We're also going to make fun of his Vikings next on The Score.
Oh, yeah.
Throughout football season, The Score is the place to go for breaking Bears news, your reaction to every game, and feedback from our team of Bears experts.
All recruits.
And look, we've been saying this. Why don't they move the pocket? Why don't they get him outside on the edge?
Kevin Fishbane.
Why isn't the pocket moving? Why aren't there more play-action rollouts? Let this guy do what he does best.
This is Chicago's home for Bears fans. Sports Radio 670 The Score, Odyssey Station.
Paul Sharchian, Fantasy Football Hall of Famer.
That guy must really know what he's doing.
Chief Execution Officer at GuillotineLeagues.com.
He's appointing himself Judge, Jury, and Executioner.
He's not Judge, Judy, and Executioner.
He is.
Your guide through the waiver wire.
Hurry, hurry, step right up and keep following the leader.
Charge. Charge. With Dan Bernstein and Leila Rahimi on 670 The Score.
High snap, put down. Joseph, come on! It is gone! Are you kidding me? He missed it right.
He missed it right.
Oh, my goodness.
Oh, my.
He missed it right. What a gut punch to a team. Paul, that play after play toward the end fought its way back. Oh, missed it by like a foot. And just, oh, my God.
I'm sorry for laughing. No, I'm not. The best part of that is that, Joseph, come on! Make this, you stupid, stupid bastard! He tries to will it into existence, and he just damn can't.
The agony of defeat.
Oh, my God. Or the foot. The bottom of the hour is brought to you by Duck, Duck, Go.
Joseph, come on!
Come on! Make it! My God! Think of the children. Paul Charchian is on Twitter. At Paul Charchian, Chief Executive Officer at GuillotineLeagues.com. He is with us on the Circa Resort and Casino hotline that is in Las Vegas, and it is home of the world's largest sports book. And here he is on our Twitch stream as well. Oh, boy, another unfortunate outcome for your purple-clad Warriors.
Yes, and in a fashion that's just so Viking as well. I'll expand on that in just a second. I just want to give a shout-out to Jay, who... You know, for guys like me, my interface point with the station is your producers. And Jay has been amazing to work with. I think he and I go back 8 years or so.
Yeah.
Just total professional, amazing communication ability. You know, when things change, I always know Jay has been awesome. I'm excited for his new opportunity. I will miss working with him, and I just want to send him off with many, many thanks for the years that we had the opportunity to work together.
That's really nice. I think that's a great shout out to Jay. And I'm sorry that your lovely and profound shout out will now be sandwiched by the Viking loss discussion. But after two very dramatic games, that one being really snatched from the jaws of victory, where are you at with your Vikings team?
Well, 0-2 is an almost impossible playoff scenario to come back from. But, you know, at least it has been historically. But there's 17 games now, so maybe that'll help. There's seven teams in the playoffs, so maybe it's not all doom and gloom. But, you know, your team pretty much handled the Bengals, and we couldn't get past the Bengals. It just doesn't as good as there are elements of this Vikings team, the offense and Adam Thielen, Kirk Cousins, Justin Jefferson, Dalvin Cook, and some great players on defense. They've just got these gaping holes that they just can't stop other teams from exposing. Right now, the three cornerbacks on the Vikings, of the 99 cornerbacks that have been ranked by Pro Football Focus, the Vikings' three starting quarterbacks rank 75, 91, and 99.
Whoa.
That's sobering.
We can't stop an opposing quarterback. And by the way, here comes Russell Wilson, DK Metcalf, and Tyler Lockett this week for the Vikings.
So what you're saying is start them.
Yes, they are compelling fantasy starts this week, to say the least. And maybe being at home will flip the script a little bit for the Vikings, but I don't feel great about that. Patrick Peterson is washed up, and it's just that part of it's bad. Now, from a fantasy standpoint, it's kind of great because the Vikings are giving up a ton of points and a ton of yards, and their offense is good enough to battle back and keep scoring a ton, and they got to keep their foot on the accelerator. Even Mike Zimmer, who loves to just run all the time, is going to be forced to pass. We're going to see continued really solid numbers from the passing offense in Minnesota.
So the quarterbacking injuries have begun, and there are new names that are being thrust into starting positions, Justin Fields among them. What would his outlook be in Cleveland against a robust defense in what looks like it's going to be his first career start?
I'm so glad you framed it up that way, because the Browns defense is so much better than people realize, vastly improved from last year when they were really shredded by injury. So just the secondary alone, they've got Troy Hill, who they poached from the Rams in the offseason, Denzel Ward, their first round pick, Greg Newsome, looks fantastic. I think his Pro Football Focus ranking at quarterback is like 19. I mean, he's looked great. Myles Garrett already has 8 pressures through 2 games. And while Allen Robinson is great, you know, everybody else does not have a favorable matchup against this secondary. And this would not be the spot I would like to have Justin Fields make his debut in. And I know people are excited to have him, you know, start a game and play a full game. But when I look at last week's game, Sunday's game, Andy Dalton was materially better than Justin Fields. Mm-hmm. And I know that's probably an unpopular opinion, but he was playing a great game before he got knocked out. He was running for first downs. I think he was 9 of 10 passing. He looked better than Fields did, and he gave your team a better chance to win that game than Fields did, as we saw over the course of what ultimately evolved over the game. I mean, do you feel like that any part of that is unfair?
No, I feel like that was a game plan designed for specifically Andy Dalton, and we saw Dalton run it really well until he had to leave the game. Even that quarterback scramble he had where he ran out of bounds was for significant yards. That was nearly an explosive play. 2 yards short, 14. So he was clearly doing his part. But the thing that concerns me about the quarterback play, especially from a fantasy standpoint, isn't just what you're trying to do with the QB, but also the receiving yards just hadn't really been there.
No, that is true. And the receivers, I haven't broken down tape on the receivers. I don't know if it's a problem is not getting open, or I know that Dalton wasn't throwing downfield. And that is, you know, that's critical to really every passing offense, is you've got to be able to complete downfield passes. We haven't seen that from this offense. I know Dalton had the, I think, second lowest ADOT average distance of throws in the league. And so that's certainly been something that they're going to have to rectify. Now, Fields obviously brings tons of arm strength, and I really want to believe that they will modify this offense to expand the field to take advantage of it. If they're not taking 3-4 deep downfield shots every game with Fields, that's a wasted opportunity. They can't run an Andy Dalton offense with Justin Fields. They've got to modify it. And that includes, by the way, letting him run some. They should be running designed runs for Fields, you know, the way that we've seen other teams do. And it doesn't have to be Lamar Jackson level, but there should be at least some of that. And the Browns have already allowed rushing touchdowns in both of their games to quarterbacks. So let's get Fields running in this game.
Which other backups that are going to be thrust into action do you project to have fantasy value?
None. There's going to be 3 other guys. Davis Mills is a now confirmed starter against Carolina on Thursday night. We're not going to start him. The Carolina defense, by the way, it's looking like it's going to be really, really good. We'll see how this turns out. But you'll remember they spent their entire draft 2 years ago on defense. It's all starting to come to fruition. Carson Wentz has got 2 sprained ankles, and Jacob Eason is a very possible starter. We're not going to go with him either. And then Tua Tagovailoa has got the rib injury. Jacoby Brissett looked awful in that offense on Sunday. So we're not going to start him either, but those guys are all shaping up as starters. They all hurt the other players around them, unfortunately.
I know this is waiver deadline, so what are the priority waiver wire pickups?
Justin Fields, number one. Now he's rostered in 82% of leagues. So, you know, most leagues he's already rostered, but he is the number one roster choice because of the rushing ability that he can bring to the table. Outside of him, we've got a couple other guys you want to take a look at. How about our old friend Cordarrelle Patterson, mm-hmm, with 2 touchdowns and getting lots of carries as the backup running back? And he actually looks like a pretty good fit in this offense. They're jackknifing him into all kinds of different roles. I like a lot of what we've seen with Cordarrelle Patterson. He's a pickup candidate. Some people dropped Buffalo running back Zach Moss after he was inactive in week 1. And then he promptly goes out and scores 2 touchdowns, including his second touchdown. Was one of those plays where he just would not be stopped near the stripe, and second and third effort got that touchdown. He looked great. And one of the running back that I'll mention, Jets running back Michael Carter, is the 4th-round rookie that everybody thought would over time take over that job. And we started to see that shift in playing time happen already in week 2. Michael Carter available in half of fantasy leagues. But maybe the most enticing player, is Rondell Moore, the wide receiver for the Cardinals, who just roasted the Vikings. And you're looking for like sparks of greatness. Rondell Moore is so elusive. And you guys, Big Ten guy, you guys, yep. You're familiar with him. So elusive, so fast, gets so much separation. And he was the most targeted wide receiver for the Cardinals. And they've got DeAndre Hopkins. So Rondell Moore with enough playing time can be a real factor and definitely somebody you should pick up.
Real quick before we let you go, I know he's rostered in some leagues, but looking at the distribution of targets and how defenses may be aligning themselves to take away weapons, is Darnell Mooney going to be more valuable than previously thought to a fantasy player?
It's a great question. I mean, I liked what we saw last week with more productivity last week than we got the week before. I worry about inconsistent quarterbacking, whether it's Dalton and, you know, the short dump off stuff that you get from him or Fields having to mature on the field. I still feel like Darnell Mooney belongs on rosters, but I think you're going to have to pick your spots to start him. And I don't think he's going to be startable. I'm not going to have a starting grade on him this coming week, but maybe over time, if we can really start to unlock the downfield passing attack, I'm going to be a lot warmer on Mooney than I am right now.
Charge, thanks. We'll talk again next week.
Sounds great. Paul.
Thanks, Layla. Thanks, Dan. Bye-bye.
That is Paul Charchian, Chief Executive Officer at GuillotineLeagues.com. When we come back, we've got a little bit of White Sox roster news, some administrative stuff, and fun with Gronk next.
This is Sports Radio 670 The Score and 670thescore.com, Chicago Sports Station.
I don't practice Friday, though, and Friday is red zone day because I don't need practice on red zone day because I'm red zone Robbie G already, baby. I need practice on first down, second down. That's cool, but red zone, I got that down since I was like a rookie.
And why does he sound kind of like Dave Wannstedt?
I don't know. I think he sounds like a caller.
Both.
That's what he sounds like. That's Rob Gronkowski. He's Red Zone Robbie G. That commercial of him calling the military insurance and he gives his number as 87. And she said, well, it's special for people who have served. He's like, I'm special. I mean, and I don't even know if they know how that's making fun of him, but it all works. And I guess he's good at selling stuff. He's just, even my wife said something like, who is that? Like, that's Rob Gronkowski, you know, the guy that caught the touchdowns of the Super Bowl. And she's like, oh, okay.
I also love the classic video of him at an elementary school. Like, he was speaking to this class of kindergartners. And they were cheering on him to chug the water bottle. So these little kids are like, chug, 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 chug. None of it really makes sense in that he is who he is, but like he just gets funny points. I don't know. Like it just all works. I can't explain it.
Yeah, it was weird when he was unhappy. When he retired, and he clearly was going through some stuff emotionally or just with where he was, and it didn't feel right. It didn't feel right for him to be sad.
No.
It's better if he's just kind of, you know, where he is and all is right with the world, I guess. But he and the Mannings talked about his film habits or lack thereof.
My teammate Cam Brait just asked me the other day, he goes, Rob, I have a serious question. He goes, do you ever watch film? And I said, no, I don't. I just run by guys. If I'm feeling good, I'm feeling good. So I don't know how to answer that. I don't watch film, but I do watch film when the team is showing it. So, and every once in a while I watch games like right now and study them, but I actually, you know, definitely do check the opponent.
I see you taking notes and everything.
Yes, I definitely, and I actually do go up to Tom, because I know Tom watches like, I don't know, 40 hours of film a week. I go, Tom, who's covering me this week? What type of coverages are they doing?
Confessions. You can do that when you have the resume he has.
And if you wonder what his sound is, that's a classic Buffalo guy. And he's from actually the same suburb of where my grandparents lived, where my maternal grandparents lived, in Amherst, New York, and Williamsville, where my cousins lived. And he was a classic, like, Buffalo hockey guy forever. So this is, he's of a type. And there's so many similarities between the Buffalo sound and the Chicago sound, as he is just all of it.
I also think that asking Rob Gronkowski how he gets open is like asking Frank Thomas about hitting. Like, Frank will be like, see ball, hit ball.
That's what he asked
when he wants to be really simple about it. Now, Frank will tell you about
hitting. Frank can break down hitting because he's got all the Walt Reniac stuff.
But also, Frank will be like, and I'm like, no, Frank, you were one of the greatest hitters of all time.
See, to me, that's like talking to Jim Thome about hitting.
Yeah.
Because Tomey's like, well, it's just a feel thing. You know, I just kind of feel it. That's the comp for me is Thome. Just sort of, you know, this big country strong guy who can pick up a bat and hit things with it.
Well, also, it's the idea of simplifying because they can simplify an incredibly difficult task. Yeah,
simple for you, not so much for the rest of us. I mentioned there were some notes from the White Sox. So Adam Engel is going to be activated, finally reinstated from the IL. Romy Gonzalez sent back down to AAA Charlotte. And the White Sox are saying that Carlos Rodon is expected to make his next start against the Reds, but I think Tony La Russa's comment was fingers crossed. So I don't know if this is just because of pressure from his representatives, or he's just insistent, or whistling past the graveyard, or this is just... If it goes like this, if this is another one where he's throwing 89 in the third inning, come on. Somebody's got to, at some point, do some diagnostics here.
Yes. And in the meantime, prove us all wrong then, because last night was lame. So, I don't
know. As Ozzy said, weak.
Yeah, I'm not mad. I'm just disappointed. I have higher standards for you. Go out there and prove us all wrong.
Transition with Lawrence is next on the Score.
Go White Sox.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.